time you introduce the Zarky. Stop it cutting loose, get honky-tonky. It's a good excuse to let your feelings run wild. Shake your feet a plenty, don't be haughty. Work a double 20, that means 40. Make a noisy entry, act just like a big child. Got such, well, you know what I wanna say. Hot much, that tempo sure is packed that way. I will bet a dime against a donut. On the dances, they will come and go, but when you learn the Zarky, you will want it to stay.
City by the Golden Gate. This is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's mystery and intrigue as we invite you to turn your lights out with The Spider. But first, on the lighter side of things, let's enjoy The Life of Riley. The Life of Riley was first heard on NBC in the summer of 1943. Chester A. Riley, radio's riveter and resident hardhat, William Bendix was just about perfect as Riley. Riley was developed as the typical hard-working Joe, easily exasperated but not easily defeated. A leaking roof, problems at the plant, or the manifestation of his kids' growing pains were enough to send Chester A. Riley into pandemonium. In 1945, Riley moved to Saturday Night on NBC, where it continued until 1951. The Life of Riley was virtually unscathed by the arrival of television. In fact, it made the transition easily, with Bendix carrying on as ever after the initial shows had featured Jackie Gleason as Riley. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear with The Life of Riley and Riley is Fired, from April of 1949. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major. Major Bowes. I miss the shadow knows. Fred Allen's alley folks. The laughter of Duffy's Tavern. Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler. I sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Prell brings you The Life of Riley, with William Bendix as Riley. For 10 years, Chester A. Riley has worked for the Stevenson Aircraft Corporation in Los Angeles. And now, at long last, he is about to be rewarded for his industry and loyalty. For 10 long years, Riley has been waiting for this very day.
How much of a bonus are you going to get, Pop?
Let's see now. Tomorrow, it'll be 10 years I worked for the company. I'd get $25 for each year of uninterrupted service. So that's 25 times 10 equals... carry 4.
$250, Pop.
$5 and carry 3.
25 times 10 is 250, Daddy.
38 and carry 5.
For heaven's sake, Riley, 250.
3 carry 9 plus 38 minus 7. Multiplied by 7. I got it! $250.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
When do you collect?
Tomorrow.
Let's get a television set, huh, Pop? How about it?
No, nothing to it. No television in this house. I ain't paying $250 so I can get cockeyed.
Well, what this family needs is a car.
Oh, but a television
now,
set.
Now, wait
is...
a minute. It took me 10 years to get this dough. We ain't going to spend it foolishly.
You're absolutely right, dear.
Well, sure, I got to think of the future.
Oh, you're going to put it in the bank.
No, I'm going to buy a mink.
A mink?
Yeah, you know, one of them little animals that dresses up like women. Yeah, I want to start a mink ranch.
What in the world are you talking about?
I have an income. I read an article about it. There's a fortune in it. You start with only one mink, and in a few months you got 2 minks, and then 4 minks, and then 8 minks.
From one mink?
Oh. You mean it's like the bees? Well, okay, so then we'll get 2 minks, a boy mink and a girl mink. We'll introduce them to each other, and they fall in love and get married, and before you know it, some rich dame on Park Avenue is wearing a mink coat, and we got $5,000 in the bank.
Now, don't be ridiculous, Riley. The minute you get that money tomorrow, it goes into the bank, and it stays there.
Now, just a minute, Peg. Who worked 10 years to get that dough, you or me?
You.
When I get that check, who's it going to be made out to, you or me?
You.
And who's the head of the house around here, you or me?
You.
So who's going to decide what's to be done with this money, you or me?
Me.
Well, that's logical.
Mm-hmm. It's time we had a little reserve in the bank.
What for?
Well, suppose you lose your job.
Me? Lose my job? Be silly. I'm setting that job for life. Why, Mr. Stevenson would never fire me. Only today he said to me, Riley, I've been watching you for 10 years, and believe me, you're not going anyplace. Yes, sir, I'm set for life.
Well, anything can happen.
No, not to me. Why, Stevenson Aircraft couldn't get along without me.
Oh, you think so?
I know so. You don't understand, Peg. I may not have a classy office with a fancy title, but they couldn't do without me for 1 minute. Because the plant operates like a big machine. And a machine may have hundreds of parts, but if one little nut is missing, goes to pieces. And at Stevenson Aircraft, I am that nut. Hi, Gillis. Hey, come on, come to lunch.
Oh, Riley, I'm in trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah, what's up, Gillis?
Riley, the waste has happened.
What, Gillis? What? Did your wife leave you?
I said, the waist, not the best.
Well, what happened?
I'm going to get fired.
Fired? Why?
You know that new machine they just got?
The one with the magno heterodyne electrodynamic gravitator with the bicyclonic supercharger?
Yeah. I smashed it.
How?
I tried to open a bottle of Coca-Cola with it.
Oh. Gillis, does the boss know about
this? Oh, yeah. Stevens is looking for me right now to fire me. I've been avoiding him, but he keeps chasing me all over the plant. Riley, what am I going to do?
No, take it easy, Gillis.
But he'll fire me, sure. What'll I do? No money in the bank. I still owe for the furniture I bought last year.
Now, relax, Gillis.
And I already sold the furniture. And Anto's gone, too. Fired. Believe me, it don't pay to be honest.
Now, you take it easy, old pal. You won't get fired. Your friend Riley will see to that.
You'll? Don't kid me, Riley. What can you do?
Well, I'll take the rap for you. I'll say that I done it.
But then you'll get fired.
Oh, not me. Stevenson would never let me go. You see, this plant operates like a big machine.
I know. You're a nut. But I can't let you take the risk.
There's no risk. Why, Stevenson and me, we're like buddies. He's my buddy.
Gillis! I want to talk to you.
Here he is. Now, remember, I done it.
No, Riley. You got a wife and kids, too. I won't let you do it. No, I won't let you. A guy would have to be the lowest thing on earth to let his best pal... No, I won't let
you. Well, Gillis, so here you are.
Riley done it. He smashed the machine. Riley done it.
That's right, Mr. Stevenson. I done it, not Gillis.
All right, Riley. You're fired.
Oh, thanks, boys. You see, Gillis, what I tell you. Don't get... Can't do it, you... Fired? No. Boss, Mr. Stevenson, buddy, wait, come back. What a revolting development this is.
Gillis, you lost your job?
Yeah, fired.
Oh, gee,
Pop. Oh, Dad, that's terrible.
Fired, but I'll have my revenge. Just watch how that whole plant will crumble. Today, I'm fired. In a few days, 3,000 men will be out of work.
Oh, but Riley, you didn't do anything. You're going right back and tell Stevenson you didn't do it.
No, I ain't no squealer.
But Riley...
Besides, if he can fire me after 10 years, then I don't want to work for him. I fixed him good when I left. You don't know it, but I took along the only key to the washroom.
Some revenge. Riley, listen to me. If you admitted smashing that machine, he had a right to fire you.
That's right. Take his side. Defend that no good, hard-hearted monster.
Daddy, why don't you go back and explain?
No, I got my pride. I don't want his job. I'll get another job just like that.
Well, I'm sure you could hold down plenty of jobs, dear, but... Well, suppose you don't get a break. What'll we live
now,
on?
Don't get panicky, Peg. We'll manage fine. You're forgetting we got that $250 reserve in the bank.
What $250?
Well, the bonus that I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I got fired 3 hours before I became eligible. Give me a knife. I want to kill myself.
Control yourself.
Oh, what did I do? What did I do?
Now, don't take it like that, dear. It'll be all right.
We'll starve. All I got to my name is a key to the washroom.
Babsy, listen to this. What's the most amazing thing?
Oh, what, Mother?
Well, this ad here in the paper. This market's got a big sale. And listen, butter, 40 cents a pound... Hamburger, 29 cents a pound. Eggs, 30 cents a dozen. Well, I can't believe it. There must be something wrong.
Well, there certainly is. That newspaper's almost 10 years old.
What? Well, look at the date. Oh, well, for heaven's sake. Where did this come from?
Well, Junior's been collecting all newspapers and selling them, and sometimes he reads the funnies here in the house and leaves the papers around.
I knew it was too good to be true. But for a minute there, I thought I'd figured out a way to live on your father's unemployment insurance. Oh, is that you, Riley?
That's me.
Oh, any luck, dear?
Nothing. I've been everywhere, Peg. They ain't taking on men. They're laying them off.
Well, what about that man you were supposed to see?
Hmm? Oh, him. Well, he offered me a job in a laundromat, but I didn't like it.
What kind of job?
Running a crap game for the men who were waiting there. Hank, what'll I do? I don't collect unemployment insurance till the end of the week.
Hi, everybody. Hey, guess what? I made $3 today helping out at the drugstore.
Oh, that's wonderful, Junior. Did you hear that, Riley?
Yeah, that's very good, Junior. Peg, where's my cigars? I left the box on the piano last night.
Oh, the box was empty, dear. I threw it out.
Oh. Babs, you got a cigar?
I don't smoke, Daddy.
Yeah, I forgot. You sure there's no cigars in the house?
Well, if you're short, Papa, let you have a dime for a few cigars. Here.
Just a minute. Just what do you think you're doing?
Well, you're broke, aren't you? I wanted
you
to give...
You got your nerve. What do you take me for anyway? A bum in the park?
Well, gee, Papa, I didn't...
I haven't
mean...
sunk so low that I have to depend on my kids for cigar money.
Now, Riley, Junior didn't mean anything.
I ain't legit, you know. I don't take handouts from nobody. I don't care if I never smoke a cigar again.
Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Leave the room, Junior. And don't come back here till you learn how to behave to your father. Go on, take a long walk. And if you walk past the drugstore, buy me a cigar.
Riley, is that you in the bedroom?
Peg,
Well, what are you doing with that suitcase?
Well, Peg, I'm leaving.
What?
But I can't get a job here in Los Angeles. I'm going west to San Francisco. Guy told me there's lots of jobs there.
Why, I won't let you go.
I'll send for you and the kids as soon as I land something, Peg. Now,
Riley, you'll get a job here. It may take a little time, but we'll be all right. I can get a job.
Oh, no. No, it's bad enough the kids are working. What do you think people will say when they find out my wife is working? They'll say I'm one of those kept men that women support for their good looks.
They'll never say that about you. Riley, listen, you're being very foolish about this. You can get your old job back if you'll just go to Mr. Stevenson
no,
and...
I told you before, I'll never go back to him. I've got my pride.
But you haven't even got the money to go to San Francisco.
Oh, yes, I have. I borrowed $40 from Gillis. And he ain't even charging me interest.
Oh, please, dear, I'll phone your boss.
No, this is final. I have made up my head. I've got to go. My train leaves in an hour.
Hey, what's up?
Where are you going, Daddy? Your father's going to San Francisco to look for work.
San Francisco?
Well, Pop,
but Daddy,
what are you going there for?
I haven't got time to explain. Your mother will tell you everything. I got to go now.
Well, we'll go to the station with you, darling.
No, I don't like sad partings. It'll be better if we say goodbye here. Well, goodbye, Junior.
Well, goodbye, Pop.
Look after your mother and your sister. You're a big boy now. You've got responsibilities. You're taking my place as the head of the family. So do everything your mother tells you.
I will, Pop.
Goodbye, Babsy.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Study good and don't stay out late. I don't have to tell you to watch out with the boys. You're a big girl now. I trust you 100%. Junior, write me every week what boys she goes out with. Well, Peg, take care of yourself. Don't work too hard. I'll write you every day, and I'll send for you soon. Won't be long.
All right.
Now, Peg, no tears. You know how I can't stand people who cry. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Bob.
Well, why are you all crying? I'm only going to San Francisco. There's nothing to cry about. You should be happy. I'm going away to make a new life for us. I feel like singing. San Francisco, open your golden gate. You let no stranger wait outside your door. San Francisco, open your door.
Well, we'll bring you the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. And we find Riley en route to San Francisco, determined to make a fresh start in life.
Excuse me, lady. Is this seat taken?
Why, no, it isn't.
It's okay if I sit here?
Oh, go right ahead.
Oh, say, that's a cute little baby you got there. Babies are crazy about me. Kitchy-goo, kitchy-kitchy-goo.
Oh, dear, he's hungry. Oh. Would you mind holding him while I see if I can get him some warm milk from the dining car?
Hold him? Oh, sure. Just give him to me.
Oh, thank you.
There.
Now, you be a good little baby, Lambikins. I won't be long.
No, no, no. There. No, don't cry. I know just how you feel. I guess you're leaving home, too. But don't you cry. You be brave like me. It's all for the best. There comes a time in everybody's life when they got to make a change. And I think the time is now. No, don't be a crybaby. You ain't the only one who's got trouble. I feel like crying too, but I don't let myself. Now, let's try and forget our troubles. We won't think about them. We'll look out the window. Huh? You like that? And look at all those pretty billboards. Look at that pretty lady. She's a movie actress. Jean Crane. You see what it says? Now playing. Apartment for Peggy.
Peggy. Oh, my little Peggy.
No. Stop crying. I can't stand crybabies. Now, look. Look, there's another pretty sign. That's an ocean. And the beach. Swim and sun in Santa Barbara. Barbara.
My little Barbara, my baby.
No, stop. If you can't control yourself, I won't let you look out the window. I'll give you one more chance. Look, there's a funny sign. You see the man with the bare feet? Oh, look how big they are. That's funny. That one says, feet burn, use absorbing Junior. Junior.
Oh, Junior, my little Junior. I can't stand it. I want to go home to my family.
Glendale, next stop. Glendale.
Glendale. I'm getting off here. I can take a streetcar home.
Oh, shut up. I got my own troubles.
I wonder where that streetcar line is. I've been walking over an hour. Looks like I wound up in some kind of a park. I wonder where I am.
Welcome to Forest Lawn.
It's you.
Yes, it is I indeed, the Undertaker. You look tired, Riley.
You ain't kidding, Digger. I'm ready to drop.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Oh, my feet. Is it okay if I lie down here?
Certainly. But keep your eyes open. Otherwise, you'll miss the beautiful scenery.
What are you doing here, Digger? Oh,
this is where we hold the weekly meeting of the UEPPC.
UEPPC?
Yes, the Undertakers, Embalmers, and Pallbearers Pyramid Club. It's a fascinating game. Every Undertaker brings two people. And pretty soon, the Undertaker on the top of the list has more people than he can handle. But what are you doing here, Riley? I thought you were bound for San Francisco.
Well, I was, but I got off the train. I just couldn't stand being away from the family.
Oh, yes, I'm the same way. I left my family only once. That was last year when I attended the annual Mortician's Exposition in Tombstone, Arizona. Believe me, there's a dead town. And I was the lonesomest stiff in it.
I'm kind of ashamed to face my family again, Digger.
Nonsense. You've made a wise decision. Los Angeles is your town. Your home.
Yeah, you're right, Digger. It's the greatest town in the world. They can have all of San Francisco. All I want is a little plot of ground right here.
And someday you'll get it. Real estate prices are dropping every day. Now you must hurry back to your miserable family. I'm sure they miss you. I'm leaving now. I'll drive you home.
Oh, well, that's swell of you, Digger. You know, this is the first time I've ever been here in Forest Lawn.
And this will be the first time I ever drove anyone out. Well, come along. We'd better be shoveling off.
Peg! Peg! Junior! Peg! I'm home. Nobody home. Oh, they probably went to a movie to cheer themselves up. Oh, I got a great little family. And I'll make it up to them for what they're going through. I'll get a job right here in town. I'll make good for them. Where's today's paper? I'm going to answer every single ad. Where's that paper? Oh, here it is. Now, where's the classified ads? Holy smoke, look at that. Butter, 40 cents a pound. Hamburger, 29 cents a pound. Oh, till I get a hold of Peg and show her this. Trying to tell me that prices are so high she can get more dough out of me. I have to get up pretty early in the morning to fool Chester Riley. Where are those ads? Oh, look at the size of that headline. These papers. They take the least little thing, make a big sensation out of it. Japs attack Pearl Harbor. Where are those ads with... Japs attack Pearl Harbor? Again? MacArthur, what's he doing over there in Tokyo anyway, playing Mahjong? I got a report to the plant right away. This is no time for foolish pride. My country comes first.
You say he went to San Francisco, Mrs. Riley?
Oh, yes, Mr. Stevenson, this afternoon. But I thought if you wrote to him, he'd come back. After all, he didn't really break that machine.
Well, don't worry, Mrs. Riley. I'll get him back here.
And please, don't tell him that I came to see you.
Mr. Stevenson!
Riley! What are you doing here?
I got off the train, and lucky I did. Stevenson, I'm willing to take my job back. This is no time for personal pride. Duty comes first. And at a time like this, we've worked. Put out that light!
What?
Put it out, I say. Don't you civilians ever learn nothing?
He's drunk.
I'll overlook that crack, Stevenson, because this thing is bigger than both of us. We've fought it through together once and we can do it again. And like before, I'm taking my position in the front lines. The man behind the gun.
Really?
We're all in this together now. We gotta work. Save fat. Save gas. Is this trip necessary? Lucky Strike Green has gone to war.
What are you raving about?
Don't you know there's a war going on? Isolationists?
What war?
Japan has done it again!
Wait a minute. We're at war with Japan?
Don't you read the papers? Of course we're at war!
Since when?
Since then. Here, look, look. December the 7th, 1941. They not only picked the same date, they picked the same year. Darn clever, those Japanese! Wait a minute. December 7th, 1940. Ooh, I take back what I said. I don't want to work for you, Stevenson. I got my badge, you know.
Oh, come now, Riley. As long as you didn't go to San Francisco.
No, sir, I ain't going to work for you. The only time I'll ever work for you, Stevenson, is when the enemy attacks.
Chester A. Riley.
The enemy is attacking. I report for duty.
We'll return in just a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Oh, you should have seen your father, children. Save fat, save gas. Oh, Daddy, you're a screw.
All right. That's enough. Cut it out. Anybody can make a mistake. You got no right laughing at me. Have a little respect. I got my job back, you know.
Thanks to me.
No, I ain't a bum anymore. I got dough in my pocket.
Oh, that's right. You got paid today.
You bet I did. I got it right here. 10, 15, 20, 40, 50, 55, 59, 10. Oh, it's good to feel money in your hands again.
Well, you hand over $35 right away. It goes toward the rent.
Oh, okay, here you are. That leaves me $24.10.
Oh, Daddy, I just got to have $8 for school books. I've got to buy them
all. Okay, here you are, $8. It still leaves $16.10.
Well, I need $10 to pay Green Spreckles grocery. They gave us credit,
okay,
and I...
Okay, okay, here.
And we got our final notice from the phone company, $6, and we've just got
okay,
to pay...
Okay, okay, here. Well, at least I got 10 cents left.
Well, Pop, you owe me that for the 3 cigars I bought you.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum again.
Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp, Alan Lipscott, and Dick Powell. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker.
From April of 1949, it's been William Bendix starring as Riley in The Life of Riley with Riley is Fired. In a moment, we'll invite you to turn your lights out and enjoy The Spider from May of 1943 as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Lights Out, radio's ultimate horror show, was first heard locally on Chicago station WENR as a late-night 1934 15-minute feature. The program was created by Willis Cooper, then a staffer at NBC's Chicago studios. By April of 1935, it had moved to NBC Red on Wednesday nights. Tucked away in an after-midnight slot in its early days, the show offered imaginative plays so filled with sinister, throat-clutching sound effects that it created a sensation. When Willis Cooper departed for the West Coast in 1936, NBC brought in Arch Obler, a young playwright who had done work for Rudy Valley and Grand Hotel. Lights Out really became Obler's show. From its first program in May of 1936 under Obler's direction, he approached each new script as a challenge. After 2 years of constantly trying to top himself, Obler quit and began his famous plays series. Lights Out continued for a year after Obler's departure, the scripting and directing conducted by NBC Chicago staffers. The program continued until August of 1939. In October of 42, Lights Out was resurrected under the direction of Arch Obler once again out of the New York studios as a 30-minute Tuesday night program for Ionized East. That continued until September of 1943, and then a final series came to Mutual in July of 1947. Lights Out moved to television in 1949, continuing until 1952. Unfortunately, the TV version never really achieved the popularity of the radio program. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear with Lights Out and The Spider from May of 1943. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Lights out, everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. In these days, the jungles are full of the whine of machine gun bullets and the chatter of monkey men with 25 caliber automatic rifles. There was a time, though, when the sound in the jungle was that of insects and the raucous call of jungle birds. Men went into the tropical forest for high adventures or to make money. It's of these times that our story is tonight.
And now? Lights out, everybody. Jungles of the upper Amazon.
Dixie! Hey, Dixie!
You don't have to shout. I hear you.
Hey, Dixie, look. Hey, look at this. Look at this one. Look at it, I tell you.
Another butterfly.
Yeah, look at these wings. Look at them.
Better if it had wings big as an airplane to take us out of this hellhole.
I bet I'll get 10 francs for this one.
If we get out of the jungle alive.
Oh, I'll get out.
Aye. You mean we? You wouldn't leave me here?
Don't worry, Dixie. You get in this with me and you'll get out of it with me. It's good to sit down.
Until the ants begin to eat you.
I'll cut it out, will you? Can't you do anything but sing the blues?
I suppose I should be happy. Should sing a song because the sun is burning me up, because the insects bite me, because I'm here in this devil's hole half the world away from my home.
Cut it out. I like it any better than you do. It's our only chance, see? Catching these bugs is our only chance to get the dough and get out of here.
But the sun beats.
You think the sun's any colder working on the mines? You think the sun's any colder sitting out there on the beach tearing your heart out every time you see a boat heading back? I tell you, Dixie, the jungle's the only chance we have to get out of here, and by the devil, I'm taking it.
Yeah, you're right. I know it's as you say. Our only chance.
Sure it is. Now snap out of it. Another couple of days like this one, and we'll have caught enough of these bugs to head back to the coast.
But will we get through?
Listen, Dixie, when I say I'm getting out of here, I'm getting out.
But the natives say...
Cut it out, I tell you. Nothing's gonna stop me.
But if we do get out, how do we know that Mr. Renap will buy the butterflies?
Listen, he said he would, didn't he?
Oh, what a man says.
Yeah? Why shouldn't he buy them? Gives us a franc apiece and then sells them all over the world for plenty of dough.
But who would waste money on such things?
Don't you know nothing. Schools, museums. They pay plenty of dough for these jungle butterflies.
But why should anybody...
Oh, forget it, I tell you. Yeah, hot enough without you shooting your mouth up all over the time. I lay still, I tell you, and forget it.
All right. I'll forget it. Joe, I seen you laugh to yourself. Why do you laugh?
I was just thinking.
What?
I was thinking what you said before about a butterfly with wings like an aeroplane.
Yeah?
Funny, ain't it? Two big guys like you and me. Guys that shot the works from arson and murder. Both of us depended on what? To get us out of the jungle and back to where we came from. Handful of blue and red and purple butterflies.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Funny, ain't it? If anybody told me a couple of years ago that I'd be chasing bugs, that I slugged them. The bugs are all the chance I got now.
That's right.
You know, it's a funny thing. When I was a kid, I used to chase butterflies, too. Dinky little white ones all around the empty lot and back. What's the matter with you, Dixie? What are you staring at?
You didn't see it.
You see what? What is there to see but a... Natives?
No.
Then what? Then what?
From behind that tree. He looked out at me.
He? What were you talking about? Who looked out at you?
A spider. And I think it was as large as a dog. Joe. Not sleeping. I can't sleep either.
Oh, it's so hot. Gee, it used to get nice and cool about this time of night where I used to live.
Joe.
Yeah, what's the matter?
Did I see it?
You're starting that again.
But I must have seen it. I must have seen it. It was all so clear.
Look, I tell you, it was nothing but a monkey hanging there. Spider.
But I saw...
Go on, the heat's frying your brains. You want to sleep.
Yeah. Sleep. I'll try.
Okay. Blasted mosquito got it under the netting.
You get it?
No, no. I got it.
Another one?
Hole in the netting. So the matter? I might as well get up and fix it. Blast that stuff. It's falling apart with mildew.
Joe! Joe!
What do you want?
Don't go too close to the edge of that clearing.
What are you talking about? I'm just going to fix the netting so that...
Joe, what? Joe, what is it? Joe! Yeah, but you screamed.
Yeah.
Well,
I saw it too. I was sitting at the edge of the clearing in the moonlight. Yeah. Spider as big as a dog. Tighter. Pull the line tighter. Yeah, that does it. Okay, come on out of the tree now.
All right.
Now watch yourself. Don't shake that tree too much. That trap door is set on a hair trigger.
There. Now it's done.
Yeah. That cage ain't strong enough to hold it. You can run a knife through me.
But what if it doesn't come here again?
It was here by the tree the last two nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
what... So it'll do it again. Only this time it's going to stay by the tree.
What if the trap failed?
Don't start that again. I tell you, one jerk of his mind from where we're sitting, the whole cage will fall right on him. Then, my friend, our troubles are all over.
I tell you, Joe, I'm afraid.
Afraid of what? Getting out of here and getting someplace where we can live like men? You afraid of making money?
Money?
Listen, for a spider that big, I could get enough cash to float home with silk shirts on our back. Think of it. A spider that big? We'll clean up with it.
No, Joe, no. I say, let's get away from here.
Oh, scared you, Dixie, huh? But it don't me. I tell you, this blasted jungle has spit out a gold mine for us.
But the trap. Are you sure of it, Joe?
Sure, I'm sure. We'll catch him. And it won't be butterflies paying our ship fare home, Dixie. It'll be the biggest spider in the world. That's all right, huh, Dixie?
But are you sure of the trap, Joe?
Strong, like.
Yeah.
I wonder what time it is.
Stars are gone.
Getting on morning.
Yeah.
It was always earlier before.
Trap frightened them away.
What do spiders know about traps?
You said yourself they're clever.
Now be a fool.
But you said yourself...
Just talking, that's all.
There's a fear in me. Cold and sharp as if...
Wait.
Huh?
The edge of the clearing.
It's coming.
Stay quiet.
Joe, let him go.
Quiet or I'll kill you.
Don't pull a trap.
Quiet.
It's looking at us.
Another step and it'll be right under you. There. I got it. Oh, look at it, Dixie. Drat. And it's mine. The biggest spider in creation. I'll get all the money I need. Oh. Well, Dixie, what's the matter with you? Come on, why don't you say something?
Trapped. And it doesn't move. Just looks at us.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
And now, back to our lights out story of The Spider.
Joe.
Oh.
How many days since...
Well, say it. Since we caught the big fella? 3 days.
You haven't fed it?
You're telling me.
Why do you...
Because I'm playing it smart. Pretty soon that thing won't be caring much about anything. Then I'm going to slip a bottom of that cage and off we go.
They say such creatures can live for a long time without eating.
Not one of that size. I figure that sitting out there in that sun all day, well, in about a week, it won't care much whatever we do with it.
Joe?
Yeah?
How could such a creature be?
What do you mean, how could it be? You're looking at it, ain't you?
But such a spider.
It's there. That's all that means anything to me.
But such a giant creature.
That's it? It's a giant, ain't it? Well, you've seen giant human beings in circuses, haven't you? They just happen, that's all. That's the way this spider happened.
So black.
Yeah. A midnight special, ain't he? Those big, hairy legs.
Once I saw an octopus.
Huh?
Devilfish.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And this one looks like a dry land devilfish, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, will that make a billboard at a circus sideshow? Will we clean up?
The legs, the strength they must have.
Mm-hmm, not when I get through with them.
Look at it, Joe, be honest.
Huh?
Isn't there a strange fascination when you look at it closely?
What are you talking about?
Its eyes.
Well,
how they shine.
So what?
As if there was the thought behind them.
You're starting that again.
All these 3 days it sits there so quietly. Its eyes like burning flames just watching.
Cut it out.
If it is thinking, I'm afraid of what it is thinking.
Hiding it, Spidey. Yeah, plenty of hand. Yeah, Dixie couldn't take it anymore. He's off looking for a cool spot. But me, I didn't want to leave you alone, Spidey. I didn't want to leave my meal ticket. You're going to be a big-time attraction on the boardwalk in some big-time circus, Spider. Yeah. Yeah. You're a screwy-looking thing, Spider. They won't believe you until they see you. The fella is going to cause them plenty before they do see you. Hey, Spider. How did you move? Spider. You're not dead. Get a stick, Spider. Bless you, you're not dead. You can't be dead. It's been only a week since. You can't be dead. You're my chance. You can't be dead. Curled up with your legs over you. Bless your move. Reach in and see. Let go. Let go of me. You bastard devil. You fool me. Let go. Let go of my arm. Get away. Let go. Dixie. The spider. Come on, Dixie.
Joe, where are you? Joe? All the sounds suddenly so quiet. Joe? Where's the man? He said he'd be here. He said... Buddy, what? Dried up. What? Joe, come quickly. I found a body. Joe, come quickly. Must see who? Joe, it's you. Joe, how did this work? The spider. But how? Gone from the cage. What he did to you, Joe. Might come back. Why do I stand here? It might come back. Gotta get out. Yeah, get things together. Butterflies, take boxes and get out before... Something move behind that tree. No, it won't get me. Won't get me. Oh. My foot twisted. Must have broken my... No. Gotta get away. get away. Gotta get away. So dark. Never get me now, that devil thing. I did get away. I crawled miles. I did get away. Clearing. Someone to help me. Crawled to the house. Someone to help me. So dark. Oh. Tired. No strength to call out. Crawl and find someone to help me, and I'll be free. Free. Touch something. What? Body. Who? Joe. Joe, you, but how? What? Back in the camp. I'm back in the camp. Crawled all night in the circle. Back in the camp. Where... No. Get out. Get out before it. Oh, my leg. No. Can't crawl anymore. It's on. What? Behind me. It's behind me waiting to jump on my back. No, don't. Nothing. Isn't there? If I could only crawl again, if I could only get away before... The moon coming up bright. Now I'll see what... Not here. Only you, Joe. Empty flesh over there in the moonlight. Blast you to the devil, Joe. You brought me here. You were trying to you die, but that spider won't get me, not me. It's gone now. My leg, it will get better. I will get away. Yes, I will. Spider, come back. Oh, no. No closer. No closer. No. Come back. Well, what? Onjo. Crawling over him. But Joe is dead. What is the spider going to... Spinning a web over him. Turning him around and around like a fly. Covering him with that thick silk. Spinning a web of silk over Joe. Sleep? Sun. Morning. Morning, it is morning. I'm alive. Someone coming. Get a hide. Who? So heavy a wolf, it can't be that devil spider. Must be one of the savages. They'll help me. See who? Joe. It is Joe alive. Joe, I'm here. Joe, I'm here. Wait for me. Joe, why do you stand there? I must have had a dream. All that happened past the dream last night was such a funny nightmare to tell you. Joe, why do you just stand there? Why do you just look at me? Your eyes, the sun shines in them. They hurt me. Don't look at me like that, Joe. Your eyes so dark, so big. I say, closer, my friend, come closer. I have such a happy thing to tell you, closer. I hear you. I like what your eyes are singing to me, Joe. Yes, I come closer. You keep telling me that happy thing.
Yeah. I'm close to you now, Joe. Tell me what your eyes... Your hand. Why do you grab my arm? Your other hand, my other arm. Why do your fingers hold my arm so tight they hurt me? Another arm on my shoulder. Joe, what? Another arm holding my neck. Joe, so many arms. How can it be? Joe, it is you. I see your face, but your eyes bigger and bigger. Sun so strong in my head, burning my head inside. Is that why I see such crazy things, Joe? Joe, why don't you say something? Your eyes bigger and bigger, burning into my head. Now your face is changing. Joe, it is you. And why doesn't your face... Joe, that sound. Your face, your arms... Spider... You are the spider, your eyes fooled me, didn't they? Made me think I was seeing Joe, but all the time it was you, Mr. Spider. They're wonderful eyes you have, Mr. Spider. I'm not afraid anymore. Isn't that a joke? Your black arms pull me close. I see the poison dripping from your fangs, but I'm not afraid. It's very funny. When the worst thing really happens, you're not afraid. I'm not afraid. Your fangs closer, closer. I'm not afraid. Right deep. Right deep.
Now, Mr. Obler, what's the moral of tonight's story? Stay away from spiders?
Yes, especially from black widows. No, Frank, our story tonight was just in fun, which reminds me of vacations, of which few of us are going to have any this year. And speaking of vacations, I'd like to tell you about a very amazing vacation I once had, visiting haunted houses.
What's this about a vacation in a haunted house, Mr. Obler?
Houses, Frank. Well, I visited all the legendary haunts up in New England, but, well, I went through the moss-covered old piles and creaky-floored structures and weather-beaten homes and all the places where the souls of the unhappy departed are supposed to walk through the night.
What happened?
I caught a violent cold.
Oh.
And met a little old lady.
Oh, who's she?
Well, you'll meet her next week in a play titled Little Old Lady. And to all of you, a very, very cordial invitation to an amazing little old lady next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, Little Old Lady.
It is later than you think.
The spine-tingling work of Arch Obler's Lights Out with the Spider from May of 1943. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, but we invite you to join us again next week and invite a friend to listen and together enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat listening nightly to our favorite shows.